Hello, everyone, and welcome to It'sYourSeason.life, where we are discovering and celebrating life at any age. This is a story about you, for you, from people like you. We all share a lot as we mature in life, and the journey is made even more special when we can celebrate it with someone else. This podcast series is based on living well and eating well, with Living Well podcasts featuring guests who inspire all of us to live a life soulful and rooted in a passion. Eating Well podcasts will be focused on healthy lifestyle tips, easy recipes with a plant-forward focus, and all-around wellness. So let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of It's Your Season.life podcast series. This is going to be the Eating Well series, but I think there's some Living Well in here as well. It is Monday, January the 22nd, and it is beautiful outside. And my guest is Matt Fedosoff here in Fort Collins, and he is the owner of a Fort Collins permaculture design and yardscaping business, Common Roots. The link will be in the description below. I hope you go and visit. The business is a reflection of his own lifestyle, described as a just and gifting-based culture. After learning about the industrialization of our food supply in 2013, he took a step back and with his wife moved forward, began growing his own vegetables, learned more about the complexity of our food supply, and became plant-based. His focus now includes volunteering with local organizations interested in sustainability and starting a business to bring permaculture to a wider audience. I don't want to tell everything, as I'm as intrigued as you are for him to tell his story and inspire you to eat and live well and hopefully just eat more plants. So welcome, Matt. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, so I just want to jump right in because I love the stories and I want you to do most of the talking. So we had some sidebars, but I'm just going to let you get started and just give us a little bit of background about you, how you wound up in Fort Collins, and just kind of move forward from there.
Well, sure. Well, my name is Matt Fedosoff. I'm a husband, a dad of two boys, ages 10 and 2. I have a love for food, cooking, and community building, I would say equally. Own a yardscaping business called Common Roots. We focus on things like permaculture, creative water reuse, native plantings, a little bit about where I grew up, which was in Washington State, pretty close to Spokane. My dad was highly into gardening. He had an attached greenhouse on our house, walked directly into from a nice big sliding glass door. I met and married my wife in Chicago, and during 2013, found a home in Fort Collins on a little slice of land with a view to help keep my wife in beautiful sunsets. And then started the business in 2021, working with a super team of contractors that fill many skills that are needed for the business, working together to build a list of happy repeat clients.
Great. That's wonderful. And a house with a view, that's a real treasure here. There's nothing more beautiful than, you know, waking up here and seeing the sun on the mountains and in the evening as well. So you enjoy cooking and food and gardening. That all pretty much comes together. Describe what was it like? What was your kind of, I call it the eating pattern or lifestyle. What was it like growing up and food? What was your first blush on that?
Oh, sure. So yeah, I would say it was entirely omnivorous growing up. Mom and dad cooked at home quite a bit. Dad wanted to feed us from, much like I do, a big piece of land where he could make a big dent growing a garden. But he also wanted to raise animals like chickens, goats, and sheep, which also were slaughtered and we subsequently ate. So there was lots of cooking surrounding that. But we ate plenty of veggies. So that was both during the summer, fresh, tons of stuff, plus frozen storage, which was in two gigantic chest freezers in our house. So that's how I describe what it was like growing up.
I'm hearing abundance.
Yeah. I do feel blessed also to have an upbringing like that, where my dad was so concentrated on trying to grow and feed us in a healthy way.
So you grew up like food was on, was grown. You knew where it came from. There weren't any questions. It doesn't sound like you knew exactly where it was. It went from like farm to the freezer almost. Is that a good description?
I'd say that was about 50 to 60% of what we ate, but there were definite trips to the grocery store for staples, things like breakfast cereals and things like that. So it was probably less of the standard American diet, but not a huge degree different, I'd say.
Yeah. So what inspired you to eat more plants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife and I began cooking vegan in 2017, started after she had uncovered some undercover footage of farm animal abuse that she shared with me. And up until that point, we were trying to locally source foods like pasture-raised chicken, eggs, milk, but we stayed away from foods like red meat, pork. It was just easier to find those foods specifically at the grocery store. However, we limited their consumption just out of cost and considerations for health. And then I'd say it came to fruition after 2017 through a unanimous decision. We really felt equally that it was the right time and it felt accessible. We began by adapting something that she would make every week, a pancake recipe to be vegan. Worked also on replacing our eggs that we would eat the pancakes into a tofu scramble made with onions, squash, roasted red pepper, fresh rosemary, and nutritional yeast, which is still a staple of ours. Meanwhile, I did lots of learning, just dove right into all kinds of YouTubers who are vegan or plant-based. I learned new cookie recipes, so I'm a big holiday giver. That was a huge step for me to learn all these great new cookie recipes to share. I was able to follow along, luckily, with Cook, who is or was a blogger at Serious Eats. Kenji Lopez started a vegan month trend. I believe it was in March. He picked to do the whole month eating vegan, and I got to follow along. And it was fantastic to try his completely vegan chili for the first time. I've made it countless times. I have no idea how many times I've made it since then. It is amazing. I highly recommend it for anyone. It's just fantastic. I've worked with Vital Wheat Gluten a bunch since then, making seitan. But the work that I've done with seitan is primarily to replicate seitan wings that I've had from a restaurant out in Denver, City O City.
Yes.
And I've had those wings long before I went vegan. I just had to get that recipe as close as I could so I could enjoy it at home. And that's where I'd say I got started.
I'm hearing some exploration, discovery, and just really accepting the challenge of the chicken wings. And seitan is hard. It's a little bit time consuming,
sure,
more than probably culinary different. And then you have for baking here in... We're at elevation, so sometimes things work out and sometimes they don't. So I'm impressed that you're doing the cookies as well. So how kind of as you went through this, how did you manage any pitfalls or hiccups or kind of what was going on in your head as you went through this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't say I had too many pitfalls or hiccups. If, for example, you were talking about things like cravings, they're not really an issue. I'd say so many animal-based foods can be replaced with plants. And it might not be a one-to-one replacement, but it's pretty close. And you can do great things if you know how to cook correctly with the right ingredients, timing, technique. So my familiarity in the kitchen, I'd say, has made that a pretty easy transition without a whole lot of pitfalls or hiccups.
So this is a little bit of a personal question, but do you both cook? Or are you the primary cook or what's happening in the kitchen?
Yeah. So we got a pretty tiny kitchen. However, we're both in there pretty often. So our kids are just eating up all of the food that we've that we're cooking. So my wife is cooking, I'm cooking. It's pretty equal, I'd say, but a lot of the weekend cooking she does, and then I'll do plenty of weeknight meals for dinners and things like that.
So I'm intrigued because I do have grandchildren and I have a plant-based family on my side too with two young children. Are you, how are you, are they inclusive in the plant-based lifestyle or how are you approaching the children?
Sure. Well, the two-year-old doesn't have a lot to say about the choices so far. And he is quite a picky eater in comparison to my 10-year-old who has seemingly eaten just about everything we've given him. The 10-year-old would eat just about anything, really, be it plant-based or not. And he's had little experiences here and there, birthday parties, travel, things like that. So he knows what other flavors are out there. And it's something that we talk about. I think that's the most important thing, to keep talking about it, to make sure that the experiences of a child are reflected in quality food that is given love and
yes,
time, you know, that takes the kind of parenting that goes into the cooking itself and is a reflection of all that a parent wants to give, which should be considerable. That's how I would say it. It should work out. The talking is important. The exploration too. I'd say my son wants to be in the kitchen a lot when I'm cooking because he just wants to be around us. So he just naturally learns from us as well. So in his learning, he wants to do his own cooking too. And that will help him in lots of different ways. And it will certainly help him understand how easy and useful it is to cook with plants.
If I'm correct, I think we both have a similar passion in helping our next generations also understand, you know, where our food comes from. I volunteer with a group in Loveland in the summertime to teach cooking classes with their fresh vegetables. And you do the same thing with, what is your group? Tell me what you're doing with your volunteer organizations.
Yeah. So the Growing Project has had, at one point, a communal kitchen where seasonal harvests could be brought to do cooking for volunteers on site. The volunteers would be out in the field doing things like weeding, setting up trellising, all the typical garden care needs run by a farm manager and working together with a volunteer coordinator as well. After the work is done, the cooking should be wrapped up. Various kitchen staples would be on hand to make the dishes fill out, but pretty much anything that was available for harvest could be brought in, making the selection really amazing. So as a person working in the kitchen, you could ask the farm manager to bring in anything from the field. They'd go ahead and collect it, bring it up, and you could start cooking. So there was the opportunity to do plenty of work giving back to interns who are on site, volunteers, board members. It was a fantastic opportunity, really, to give back to these different generations of people who were there. And then my subsequent work has taken me as a volunteer for the Northern Colorado Permaculture Guild. We do some work in a gift economy setting to host events where someone with land can get roughly a week's worth of work done in an afternoon, thanks to our volunteer team. And in exchange, the host has agreed to gift the volunteers a meal. So that's one way for this kind of communal gifting economy to exist between landowners who might not have money, who could employ a team of landscapers to come in and do work. And instead, they get our team and we do great work, really trying as best we can to understand the problems, come up with solutions for the homeowner. It's a fantastic opportunity for me to do cooking as one of the organizers of these events. I love baking bread. There's plenty of seasonal ingredients to use every time. So it's a really a win-win situation.
It reminds me of a current version of the barn raising of old. You know, people get together, they help someone, you know, raise their barn and then the meal, and then it transfers over to as well. So it has a little flavor of that to me, of just helping others out and using expertise, and then reciprocity, what goes around comes around. So I think that's a wonderful, I'm not sure everyone in Fort Collins knows about the Permaculture Guild, and I would think that probably led you to your own business of permaculture.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so I'd say it's gotten me to kind of open up as far as how yardscaping and permaculture come together and how I can bring that to people who kind of want to pay for that on their own, but also to give back to all these other folks who might not have the money, where I can do some of this volunteer work through the guild.
And water, and our water supply is such a thing here in Fort Colorado in general. I think the more I study the water situation and being able to manage our yard space or garden much more efficiently is just huge. It's what where we're headed, I think.
Oh, I know. I feel like an evangelist for water culture to understand the needs of our climate here in this arid, seemingly desert area that's really just getting drier and drier. So the better we can focus on these resources, the healthier our land and in turn our bodies will be.
Mm-hmm. I think for us, when we drive around, you see all the reservoirs. You think, oh, there's plenty of water, because that's how we manage our water here, is we put it in reservoirs, and then you can see it and you think, oh, there's not a water problem. But there really is. There's a lot of nuances to it. I want to ask you, so as you move through this in 2017 and beyond with your new eating lifestyle, how did your family and friends respond, and how did you manage that?
Yeah. I'd say my 10-year-old has been really open to our lifestyle. He has plenty of experiences that aren't 100% vegan, through birthday parties where we don't give him strict rules. He makes some of his own choices. He has that freedom, and we try not to sweat it too much. At home, we're eating vegan all the time, so that's really what's the most important thing. I'm in the kitchen so much. He loves to be around us, so that means he's in the kitchen a lot too. So he gets the experience of learning cooking all the time. He's in there with us to learn and try out his own things. He makes popcorn all the time. It's a really pleasant experience to have him learning with us, and for sure has his own opinions, but in the long run, I know that he's learning, and it's a overall positive experience for him.
Well, and he's getting all the nutrition and the phytonutrients from the plants, and there's so many different ways to look at it, and I would like us to hear what your own philosophy is on whatever you call it. Like, I think there's a spectrum. I call it a spectrum on the plant-based, from the no fat, no salt, no sugar group, all the way to, you know, unhealthy vegan. So kind of what is your philosophy in guiding or in discussions, or just, you know, how you live and being more, eating more plants, or eating primarily plants, mostly plants, only plants. There's all these things in between.
Right. I'd say my philosophy comes from my background of cooking and growing. So all of the growing that I do within my own garden brings in a considerable harvest. Therefore, there's just so much that needs to be used up. Preserving food, cooking, freezing, all different ways to just really take what the land gives us and make proper use of it. So when we are doing that, we are connecting our souls, in my opinion, to Earth. It's a reconnection. It's the kind of thing that will put you, a body, in tune with what it needs from the land. So I've experienced situations where I'll be out gardening and just totally overcome by the need to taste the plants that are growing. For example, me thinning carrots, thinning spinach, and just the experience of eating those plants that get thin that wouldn't otherwise be useful brings so much invigoration. It's something that happens regularly when you're out in the garden. So I've had enough of that experience to tell me that most people can receive that kind of input from the land, that they can eat from the land, and that will bring forth the kind of nutrition that drives continued care for the land. So it's a reciprocal process of growing, eating, and a deeper understanding. So I would say part of what has happened is also my interest in all these ways that growing requires a certain skill level depending on where you are. So that has driven my need to understand our regionally adapted agriculture. I think that can drive quite a few different people to understand what it takes to grow in our environment. And then you have a better appreciation for the food that we eat. I'd say that encapsulates quite a bit of where I come from.
Yeah. Here in Colorado, I'm pulling in some of the things I've read about the indigenous culture and how our indigenous groups are sharing a little similar philosophy of our food supply and the connection with the earth and the connection with our souls and nurturing us and feeding us. And if we kind of open our eyes to that, it gives us a whole breadth of, don't everyone run away when I say this, but you know, a breadth of spirituality and connection with our food and our earth. And I think we miss that when we go into grocery stores and it's all piled up quite beautifully because that's what the consumer wants. But mm-hmm. But what a treasure when you can have a no waste philosophy of, I see, I might waste the spinach, but but I'm going to try it because it's beautiful and it's fresh. So let's talk about kind of how you manage it and some of the things that you found. What are some of your favorite vegetables or your favorite vegetable that you like to prepare?
Sure. Yeah, I'd say it's easily the potato. Potato is just such a versatile ingredient. It's an easy vegetable to grow. It can be prolific if you do it right. It can uplift, I'd say, just about any dish if you do it right. So I just love it for an untold number of reasons. I'm sure lots of people do as well.
Well, it gets a bad rap, but I think the studies are really showing that it's not a bad vegetable. Always for me, you know, it supplied the Prussian army. You know, the Irish lived off of potatoes. It has a lot of nutritional value, and people get a little wigged about it sometimes because of the starch and so forth. But there's really good research on how potatoes, just cooling it down and how to prepare it, that if you do a little research. So tell me about your best reading materials or videos that you might recommend to others?
Yeah.
Keep you going, motivated. Yeah.
Yeah. I follow a lot of people on YouTube. Similarly, I have a lot that I follow on Instagram. Let's see. In that list, there are just so many folks who I can think of. For example, there's a gal, Sam Turnbull at It Doesn't Taste Like Chicken.
Oh, yes.
I just love her recipes. They're so accessible. I can tell that she has tested them, that she's iterated their faults, and then come up with really accessible ways for things to get made on a budget and without a ton of time. Who else? Gaz Oakley from Avant Garde Vegan. He's a guy out in the UK who does just restaurant quality work. It looks fantastic, and all of the process is beautiful, well-shot video. Let's see who else. On Instagram, there's Ben's Vegan Kitchen, and yeah, I appreciate the format of his videos since they're so quick. They're the kind of thing that you probably need to watch more than once and definitely keep them open in order to follow along and then do the recipe itself. But yeah, just so much inspiration out there. I can also share the book that kind of got my wife and I started, which was Raw Vegan, Not Gross by Laura Miller. She was a YouTuber at one point. She put out these hilarious videos that are over the top. They're hilarious. I recommend them to anyone. It's a little bit more on the side of what can you do, like how far can you stretch ingredients to do interesting things that you might not have thought that they could do it, especially with the raw angle that she takes it in. A lot of what she makes has so much more nutritional value than a lot of typical vegan cooks out there who might be more trying to replicate the omnivore diet. So I just loved where she brought us in the beginning and where we have adapted our cooking since then.
And you made me think about raw versus comfort food. What is your, and all things in between, what is your favorite comfort food?
Oh, comfort food? I 100% say farinata. Have you ever had a farinata?
I don't think I've had a farinata, but I'm writing that down and going to go look that up. So tell us about a farinata.
So the farinata recipe I started with is not from a vegan cook. He's on foodwishes.com. He's a YouTuber well known as Chef John. And the farinata he makes is very similar to a chickpea flour pancake that takes up an entire cast iron skillet. It's an amazing, healthy filling. It's the kind of thing that you can load up with plenty of healthy ingredients, like chopped up sautéed spinach can go into it really nicely, or really any kind of green, whatever you've got on hand. It takes onion really well, takes different kind of seasonings really well. And the outside of it is so crispy. It's fantastic. It's like a giant pancake that you cut into wedges. I can't argue with it. The other thing that's really a huge recipe in our house is sweet potato lasagna.
Oh.
Don't recall where you even got the recipe. However, it's a replacement for noodles using sweet potato. The filling for it is a tofu ricotta, which is primarily flavored with nutritional yeast and basil, a little bit of olive oil. My wife, my son, they just gobble it down. It can't keep it around. It just disappears. So those are probably my top two. But we also make some plant-based mac and cheese pretty often as well.
Yeah. So, and I have to tell the audience, I found you on Instagram, and your handle on Instagram is Gardener in the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
In the Stars. And I was like, oh, I didn't know it was a he or she. This person has beautiful foods I'm following. And I highly recommend people if you're wanting to go plant-based or need inspiration, get on Instagram and follow people, because food, you get it embedded in your mind of how beautiful food can be and what other people are doing. And I'm like, wow, this person does beautiful food. And then like, oh, I think they're in Northern Colorado. I think I'll reach out and learn more. So it was just a pleasure that I'm so glad I followed you on Instagram. We could have this conversation. I have another question for you. Sure. you're a guy that is plant-based, a vegan. What would you tell other guys out there? I mean, it's like, what would you tell? What would you share? What would you encourage?
Well, I would hope that if anything, I'm an example of what it can be to be a vegan male, approachable, without an overt agenda. Honestly, I'd rather be preaching to people about the soil and how important it is to link our planetary habits with how we eat. I think that is an accessible approach for a lot of men to understand our food, in that way. So if anything, I don't approach it very strongly. I've never approached it very strongly from the aspect of what is a man, what is a woman. It is how I eat. It is how I feel like I have made the happiness for myself. So that can be an example to whoever sees it, and you can take it or leave it.
No, that's great, because you raised a good thought about advocacy, or how you share your approach. And we've had conversations with other couples that are plant-based, and they're like, I just tell people this is the way I eat. You know, you can eat how you want to eat, but this is how I do it, and this is why I do it. You might want to give it a try, but this is just how I do it. There's no super call to action, but if you like it, you want to try some stuff, that's cool too. What do you want to tell other people about being plant-based, or, you know, if they're considering it? What do you say? You have a friend that says, you know, I might try that, or what would you, or they seriously want to, what would you tell them? How would you suggest to approach it, or some tips maybe?
Yeah. And I've had folks, friends and family talk to me more about how accessible it could be. So I've had this talk a little bit. I'd say that eating animals is a choice that we make 3 times a day. And if you want to save the planet, if you're any bit an environmentalist, then there's no easier way that's within your control. So you should go slow, especially if you're new to cooking with plants to that degree, and think of it as a journey. We're all on a journey. This is your cooking, your eating journey. My wife and I are discovering new things about how this works all the time, so we don't know it all. And I hope that sharing the happiness that I've experienced since making this life change is something that listeners will find accessible, and that they can improve their own life in similar healthy ways.
So thinking about that, how do you feel since you've been, I mean, people ask me this all the time, well, how do you feel? I'm like, you know, I really can't just pinpoint it. It's, but you just feel better. So how would you describe it? How would you describe how you feel?
So how I feel comes from both the cooking and the living aspect. I'd say the cooking aspect of doing so without animal products feels freeing. It's hard to describe. It feels like the fewer choices there are, the easier it is for me to think of new choices in a way. It's almost like the ingredients haven't been limited. So in a way, my cooking has blossomed. So therefore, life has become a freer way of cooking. So there's less stress in the kitchen in a way. I'm not thinking about meat spoiling or milk going bad, different things that I used to think about. I don't have to anymore.
You raise a good point. The whole cross-contamination and spoilage, and then what pairs with pork, or what pairs with my chicken, or what sauce. I mean, it's really all about the sauce and the flavorings and the cuisines once you get past it. But you raise a good point on the whole cross-contamination and spoilage. I don't think about that either.
Yeah. My cutting board has been freer that way.
I know. I had a terrible bout of salmonella from Hawaii. Yeah. I flexed off on some tuna because I figure we're on an island, and they were very proud of their beef, and I thought, well, my last night there, I'll have a little street taco, and I was sick for, it was awful. It was, so I was like, okay, that was it. I don't, and it was salmonella. The county, the health department had to get involved.
No.
It was terrible. After that, I'm like, you know, I'm okay. I will rarely flex off anymore.
Sure.
And I do, like, you're like your son, you're someplace, and, you know, for me is an ounce of something going to inflect on anything else that I do the rest of the year. It's such a small amount, but was my adventure for 2023, and back to you. What final thoughts would you like to leave us with?
Oh, I'd say if anybody has interest in this kind of healthy eating, that they should do as much research as they can. Get inspired. Go out and find others who are doing this kind of cooking, and read more books about how to grow your own food as well, because the two really can provide a soulful, useful connection to the land that I don't know if it can be measured in any other way. There's just so much that connects to both mind and body wellness. You're nourishing two things simultaneously. You're in contact with the soil, you're growing plants, you're working for the land, your mind is connecting with the care for the land. You can focus yourself, give purpose, and then eat from it as well. Other things that come to mind, you're putting your energy into the land. And that's an offering. You're offering your energy to the land to our mother, and our bodies afterward, you know, they ache. And then it's part of a cycle. Our bodies ache from the work. We rest, we take care of ourselves, and our bodies are healed so that we can help again. You know,
oh, that is such a cycle I can envision in my mind about that. Yeah.
There's so much healthier eating that can be fostered under this food that's grown under our own personal care. It doesn't have to be a gigantic field. It can be a tiny little garden. It can be a balcony set of potted plants. It's an opportunity to put your first seed in the soil, to feed plants, to feed ourselves. And then you're opened up. The possibility, at least, is opened up to nature and the natural world. This is all kind of building off of something that you had sent to me, which is that your programming is a connection to mind-body wellness, eating healthier, nature, and soulful living. So all of it really comes together in this connection between the land and the food. And I'd really hope that anybody who is listening can share that experience.
Yeah, I do too. Absolutely. Put in a final plug for Common Roots, of where you're trying to pull that together and help others really build that earth that we live under and make it more fruitful for each of us, and have our own little plot somewhere in our garden that we can grow and just feel that connection and that lovely circle that you described for us.
Thank you. Yeah, and thank you for the opportunity. I loved answering your questions. I love your program.
Thank you so much. It was just a pleasure to have you on, and I can't wait to share this with our audience. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you have a new tip for eating more veg. Give me a shout out with comments or suggestions for future podcasts. And be sure and check out my website. Follow my cooking demos on YouTube under either Lisa Boesen, Boesen, or itsyourseason.life. And if you need a recipe, visit me on Amazon and other online book retailers. And remember, it's always your season to eat more veg. So let's get cookin'.